his holy name. For certainly God is worthy of all of our praises. Just this morning, he woke me up, started me on my way, gave me a little bit of health and strength, enough frame of mind that I might know this is the Lord's day and to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm thankful for all of you who have joined us this day that we might worship the Lord together. For certainly while it is each of our responsibility to worship God, there is nothing like having brothers and sisters to come into the house of the Lord and worship him together. So we're thankful this morning to Brother Smith for the invitation to come. Thank the elders for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. Certainly we always look forward to being here at the Fifth Ward Church. As we gather this morning, I'm reminded of a dear sister in Christ that has affected our lives and my life and over the years. And one of the things that she could be heard saying from time to time is, she says, the biggest word I know is elephant. And so I want to share with you this morning that I'm just elephant glad to be with you this morning. I'm elephant humble that you have shared with us the invitation to come and share in this series of lessons. And I certainly hope that God might use me to his glory and to his honor. And I might be hidden, that he might be lifted up, that all men might know the name of Jesus. Amen. And that they might come to know him and know him real personal even this day. So thank you again for all of the leaders and ministers for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for all of you who are joining in with us to worship the Lord this morning. Whether you're sitting here with us or whether you're at home, I pray that you have been caught up in the Spirit, even as John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he recognized and remembered that it was the Lord's day, and he joined in gladness for all that God has done. Now, Brother Gary assigned me Galatians chapter 6. I want to simply drop down, if you will, and if you'll join me at verse 7 and verse 8. Now we'll see if we can hang a couple of thoughts for the morning that might help both you and I as we make this pilgrimage with the Lord together into eternal life. And as you join me at Galatians 6, I will tell you now, just in case you get through before I get through, that I have three little points that I want to try and balance a lesson with this morning. And the first one is, I want to try and establish the principle of sowing and reaping, since that's my subject. Secondly, after I establish the principle, I want to try and establish or apply the practice. And thirdly, before I take my seat and before you fall asleep on me, I want to try and share the promise. And I believe they are all found within the text of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9, if you'll join me there. Paul writes to the church at Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse number 7. He says, be not, I'm waiting on you, deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever, that's important, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For that he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. Verse number 9, and let us not be weary in what? Amen. In well doing. Why? Because there is a promise there. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So the lesson this morning, sowing and reaping. In recent surveys, it has been discovered that 1 out of 7 children does not know where food comes from. They think that our fruits, vegetables, and many of our dairy products simply come from grocery stores like H-E-B, Kroger, and Walmart. That they do not know that our fruits and vegetables come from seeds which are planted and then raised and harvested on a farm. Now they know and they sing that old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm, there was a cow, and there was a moo-moo here, and a moo-moo there, and a moo here and everywhere. Old MacDonald had a farm. They know that. But what many of them do not realize or know is where they got the spinach that they want to throw away, the carrots that are supposed to make their eyes good, the pickles that they want on their Chick-fil-A, or the corn on the cob that is sitting on their plates. These things do not simply come from the grocery store, and sometimes children don't recognize they don't come from the grocery store, but rather they are a result of a season of sowing and reaping. That they are a matter of plowing and planting and watering and feeding and then waiting on a principle that God put in place from the foundation of the world. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29, God said, "In the beginning I have given you every herb bearing seed." God gave us seeds so that seeds could produce other seeds, and other seeds could produce other fruit, and we might be able to reap and to sow. The principle of sowing and reaping is an agricultural term, and many of our children and many adults do not know much about agriculture because they did not grow up on the farm. In some studies, it was found that 7 out of 100 people, enough people to fill the state of Pennsylvania, thought that chocolate milk came from brown cows. That's how much we sometimes know about sowing and reaping. Why do we know so little or have so much little knowledge of the principles of sowing and reaping? It is because either we have moved away from the principle, or the principle has moved from them by a lack of teaching and training. From the 1700s to the late 19th century, many Americans and immigrants all over the world left the farm and they moved to cities. They didn't all move to Houston. You know, if you're from East Texas, you go to Dallas or you go to Houston, you go to one of the two. But many people during the boom in America, they left the country. They went to the city. And between 1870 and 1920, 11 million people moved from rural areas to urban areas. And by 1920, more Americans lived in the city than in the country. With the invention of different things as well, the Otis elevator and the Bessemer steel making process, it created materials that allowed us to build great and tall cities. And some buildings were so tall that they were said to scrape the sky. And then we started calling them skyscrapers. Along with those inventions came factories and mechanized production, steamboats and locomotives and telegraphs, and people of every nationality soon dropped their dusty overalls the dirty plows, the dungy old horses, and they move to the cities toward this new and better way. They move to the city, but some forgot. They forgot about the form. And in the process of forgetting about the form and the hard work and the long hours, they forgot about the principles that they learned on the form. Some forgot about loving your neighbor as yourself. Some forgot about taking time out to serve the Lord. They forgot what Benjamin Franklin said when he said, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. They forgot about the principles that forged them into model citizens and good neighbors. And now, as a nation, we have began to reap what we sow. Because we have let the principles go unestablished. Since 1818, I'm just laying the foundation. Formals have been provided. Some of you don't know nothing about this, but they used to get a little periodical that was called the American Almanac. Yeah. It provided the former with long-term weather predictions. It told him when the best time was to plant okra or to plant beans or to plant corn. And according to many farmers, the almanac was the law for sowing and reaping. For the Jew, the Old Testament was his law. It provided him with stipulations of coming to terms with God. It told him all of the do's and all of the don'ts that he must consider. It was his schoolmaster, his tutorer, a trainer to keep him moving in the right direction with God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. The law of Moses had taught the Jews and of God and his ways. It established principles and practices and promises for the Jews based upon outward acts. But this law was hard. It was hard because the law was perfect and the Jews were imperfect. It judged people as righteous or unrighteous based upon how well they performed against a set of rules. But God, in his grace and mercy, freed the Jews from the law. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, the same Paul who wrote the book of Colossians says, blotting out the handwriting of audience which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailing it to the cross. We are free from the law, Paul says. He has taught the Galatians that we are free from animal sacrifices. We are free from the Sabbath. We are free from having to drag animals to the church and kill them when we got there and have blood all the way over everything. We're free. We're free. We're free from rock throwing when somebody sins and messes up and misses the mark, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are free from having every male baby circumcised on the eighth day because of being cut off relationally from God, Genesis 17, 14. We are free from having to be Jews to be saved, because now there is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. By the grace of God, Galatians 1:6, that came through Jesus Christ, we are free from the law. Freedom in Christ, however, does not mean a release from some restriction. It does not mean that we can run footloose and fancy free. I see and hear people doing all kind of things in the name of religion because they talk about the grace of God. But God still gives us some restrictions and some laws and some principles to guide our life, to guide our worship, to guide our conduct. And the Bible does not give us a license to do whatever one wants without hindrance or consequences based on the grace of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. But we have to continue in faith, whereby we have been justified or made right with God. Now the law may be gone, Paul says. And he's arguing that in the book of Galatians. You may not have to be a Jew to be saved. Now it's whosoever will. You may not have to go to Jerusalem to go to worship. But there was still a principle, a landmark, and a connection with the old law by which God moves and works in this present world. There is still a principle by which God blesses you or curses you. There is still a principle by which God helps you or hides from you. There is still a principle by which God delivers you or denies you. And it does not matter whether you are single, saved, and satisfied, or if you're married and mortgaged, the principle of sowing still remains the same. Paul is saying that it does not matter if you're male or female, rich or poor, the law of principle still applies. Paul is saying, even as Michael Jackson says, it does not even matter if you're black or white. This law of reaping and sowing is an absolute and unfailing law that is at work in the laws of God, whether we choose to accept them or ignore them. Principle cannot be pardoned by the president. This principle cannot be sedated by senators. This principle cannot even be loosened by lawyers. This principle is being managed by God, who has underwritten it with the guarantee that while the grass may wither and while the flowers may fade, this principle is unchanging, unfailing, and unmovable. And that principle is, as your grandmother used to say, you're going to reap what you sow. That is the principle. Reaping what you sow, as I said, is an ag principle. But Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 7, he also makes it not only a principle, but he shares with us that it also is a practice. He uses this agriculture term and he says, whatsoever a man what soweth, that shall he. Yes, you got it. That whatsoever. That makes me think about some stuff. Because if it was a few things, I might not be so alone. But he says, whatsoever. I'm not a farmer, but it makes me think, because if the principle is still working under the management of God, and God says whatsoever, then it touches me at every point in my life. Oh yeah. Sowing and reaping touches me at the bank. Yes, it does. If the principle is true, and I believe that it is, then that is the reason we sometimes can't get nothing out of the ATM. Because unless you are a thief and a robber, nothing from nothing still equals. And the bank said, you got to have something if you want to be with me. You reap what you sow. The principle of sowing and reaping touches us in academics. If you don't go, you can't know. Studies have proven that people with college degrees who hit the books, you weren't supposed to be revived by this too? The word of God revives us in everything. Amen. It ought to make us think about our personal life and our spiritual life, because it all works together in sowing and reaping. Some of you angry at the boss man now. You going to work tomorrow or tonight, and you angry with them because they won't give me a... Well, I got this little old job and it ain't doing... What did you sow? What did you sow? Amen. People who spend some time at the library sowing. People who spend some time at the college sowing. People who spend some time in academics sowing. Study says they start to reaping. What are you sowing? You reap what you sow. The principle of sowing and reaping touches us at home. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. Many of the Thessalonians had heard about the Jesus coming back, and they thought it would be in any minute. And so they were so convinced that he was coming back at just any minute, they quit their jobs and began to hang out and doing nothing. And Paul says to them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse number 10, he says to follow his example. What was Paul's example? He was getting up and going to work. Yes, he was. So Paul tells him, do as he was doing and go to work. Then he says in verse 10, for them to follow his example as he has both shown them and commanded them in example and work. He says, if any man will not work, neither should he. In other words, Paul is saying, if you're not bringing nothing to the table, then you ought to not be taking nothing from the table, because it's a matter of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping touches us at church. Yes, it does. You're having lessons dealing with a season of sowing. Why? Because sowing and reaping touches us as a congregation. And if we're not willing to sow anything, then we're not going to get anything back. Isn't that the law? If you don't give nothing, you ain't gonna get. That's a crude way of saying it, but you ain't gonna get nothing. Amen. And so you have to recognize that there is a season, and the church has to be willing and prepared to drop some seeds. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12. Paul talks about elders. He talks about ministers and prophets. And he says that Ephesians chapter 4 verse number 12, they're given for the perfecting of the saints. They're given for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body. And brothers and sisters, we have to do some sowing if we're going to do some reaping. Amen. In this passage, Paul reminds us that choices have circumstances, and that's a fixed law of human nature. I sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap character. Sow character, reap destiny. You remember Abraham and Lot in Genesis chapter 13? Abram and his nephew Lot had been blessed by the Lord in Genesis chapter 13 verse 2. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. He was living large, and he was a man of faith at the same time. But Lot, which was Abraham's nephew, he was doing good too. Isn't it good for you and your kinfolk to do good?
He was living good. He was living good too. In fact, they were living so good. In Genesis 13:5, it tells us that Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them. So somebody was going to have to go. And I'm thankful for older people who have wisdom. Abram said to his nephew, he said, look, nephew, you go this way, I go that way. You know, we'll work this. No sense in us fighting. We kinfolk. No sense in us coming to blows and your folks come. Let's work this thing out. And so they began to work it out, and they began to pick and choose. And verse 11 says that Lot chose the plain of Jordan. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and Sodom was a wicked city.
All right.
So, Lot let the green grass fool him. After living there a while, the city began to show itself. The principles of Lot had been taught at home. He was going to have to learn to deal with stuff with those principles. But one evening while Lot was there, two men, Genesis 19, verse 11, two men, two angels came to visit his house from out on the town. They went home with Lot, but when the men in town heard it, they went to Lot's house trying to get with the men who were visiting. What was Lot going to do?
All right.
He had moved from the country
right.
to the city. His ways were not their ways. His thoughts were not their thoughts. What was he going to do? He had to make a decision. Was he going to stay? Or was he going to go? That's the question facing us today. Going to do what's right? Or do what's wrong? Are we going to reap? Are we going to sow to the flesh? Are we going to sow to righteousness? Lot had to decide, and he had to decide. He decided to get out, to move by faith, and he was not going to look back. But Miss Lot, oh, bless her heart, she looked back. She made a decision. And decisions bring consequences. The practice of sowing and reaping touches us at every point in our lives. Whether we know and move or whether we stay, it all depends on the choice we make as to whether we are delivered or devoured. Paul says there is not only a principle tied with sowing and reaping. You get what you sow? But he says there is not only practice tied with it, the choices we make, the things we do, the way we live our lives. But he says there are some promises tied with sowing and reaping.
Yes. Yes.
Paul says when it get right down to it, everybody has two seeds to choose from. Either you can sow to the flesh and do what you want to do. Or either you can sow to the Spirit and you can do what God wants you to do. But before you make a decision, Paul would have you to know that there are some promises tied to sowing and reaping. And before you make your choice, you might ought to consider the laws of the harvest. Principle number one that you need to consider before you make your choice is we reap only what has been sown. This is a positive and a negative all at the same time. On the positive side, we are benefactors of blessings we could never pay for. Amen. You remember in the Old Testament book of Joshua, Joshua 24, verse 13, God gave Israel, the Jews, he gave land for which they did not labor. He gave them cities for which they could not build. He gave them vineyards and gardens they did not plant. And here in Galatians 6, he wants them to know he gave them grace that they didn't earn. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. God gave them Jesus while they were yet sinners. That's the positive side. That sometimes you get blessings that you could never pay for.
Amen.
Sometimes on the other side of that, with what is reaped and sown, sometimes you get tares. People always messing with you. You're trying to do your best. And here they come. All in your garden. Sprinkling. You just trying to get a nice sleep. And they sprinkling. And when you get up in the morning, you trying to wonder and figure out what in the world happened. And while you were asleep, the enemy came. Sow tares in your garden. We reap only what's been sown. And sometimes we have to reap the good and the bad. Sometimes it's not your decision. It's the decision somebody else made that affects your life. Other folks' decision. Principle two. We reap the same kind as we sow. Whatever we sow, wasn't that in the verse? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We reap the same kind as we sow. So if we sow the good, we're going to reap. But if you sow in some bad stuff, you better get the vacuum cleaner out. Because you're going to have to reap what you sow. Amen. Principle three. We reap in a different season than we sow. You don't plant watermelons. Here comes the country in me. You don't plant watermelons, peas, beans today and go out and look and they came up this evening. If you got some seeds like that, let me know. I'll buy them from you. No harvest comes the moment the seed is planted, but it must wait on God's timing. Some of you are old enough to remember layaway plan. Layaway, in case you're not from this generation, layaway is where you go to the store and you put some money on something, and the store holds it until you get enough money to pay in full. Is that right? Some of us in the process of reaping and sowing, some of us think we have gotten away with stuff because God has not sent the police after us. Amen. We have not been sick. We have not had anything bad to happen to us. But 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 24 tells us that God has a layaway plan. And while some people do what they do is clearly seen, others have got stuff on layaway that God gonna pay you for. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. But then principle number four, we reap in proportion to what we sow. Brother Garrett probably thought I forgot about it. But he also gave me 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 for my lesson where the apostle Paul says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. In my dad's lifetime, he farmed. I would watch him. He farmed. He would grow some corn that I loved. And man, he would call me sometime. He said, come on down. Corn is ready. Oh, what a happy day. Yeah. And I love getting the call. And as he planted corn, Dad would sometimes plant enough that he would fill up our garden. And then he would go down to my grandmother's house down the road, and Dad would plant corn in her garden, and he would fill up both gardens with corn. And the more ground he would sow, the greater the harvest we would have. Church, the harvest is plenteous, but sometimes the laborers just ain't few. They just few. Even in a large church, we reap in proportion to what we sow. And then the last principle of the harvest I share with you this morning is we can't do anything about last year's harvest. Yeah. But we can about this year's crop.
Amen.
If we sow, if we give, if we pray, if we water, if we work while it is day, if we will labor for the Lord, here is the promise. Here is the so what. God will give the increase. He will increase and renew your strength. He will bless your life. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, because he works through the principle of faith and reaping and sowing. Big churches, large congregations can close their doors.
Amen.
Amen. There was a funeral. There was a funeral several years ago in Alto. It never appeared in the paper. Nobody ever sent a death notice. There was not even a physical body to view. But there was a death. And nobody even cried. Because the other congregation in our town closed their doors, went out of business because of a process of sowing and reaping. Don't ever think that the mighty cannot fall. It's a matter of sowing and reaping. It's a matter of working while it is day. Because you see, sowing comes in a season. You don't plant everything at the same time. There's some stuff that grow in the winter. Most stuff grow in the spring, but there is a season of sowing, and these brothers are asking you to join them in the leadership in sowing so you'll be ready for the harvest.
Amen.
It's a principle of reaping, of sowing. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 13, God gave Noah a promise. And he said, I do set the rainbow, the bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token or promise between me and earth. Verse 15, he says that the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And every time I see that rainbow hanging in all of its beauty and glory, I am reminded to this day that God keeps his promise. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. But God made another promise before this one in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. When he said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter shall not cease. Brothers and sisters, Paul says in Galatians 6, he says, God is not mocked. The word mocked means to turn up your nose at God. Got a grandson, he won't eat green beans. And every time I say green beans, he says, No matter what else, if I say that, he turns up his, and some people are the same way. And God says, God is not mocked.
Amen.
He says, you can turn up your nose at my principles. He says, you can turn up my nose at the practices. He says, you can turn up your nose at my promises. He said, but you ain't mocked.
Yeah.
you might laugh today, but I'm always right. And whatever you sow, you're going to also reap. It's a principle. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verses 1 through 6, the wise man Solomon says, we've got to journey in this sowing and reaping deal by faith. Just like Paul is saying in the whole book of Galatians. Paul was encouraging the Galatians to walk by faith. And in Ecclesiastes 11, Solomon says, cast thy bread upon the water. He says, and it shall return to you after not many days. That's a promise. And he uses two illustrations in the text. One is that of a merchant sending his goods out on ship. And the other is of a farmer sowing his seed. And in the text, both require a great deal of faith. See, the ship might hit a reef, meet a storm, or be attacked by a pirate. Bad weather, blight, or insects might get the crop. But he says in the text at verses 2 and at verses 5 and at verses 6, he uses a thought and he says, thou knowest not. See, faith. You don't know always what God will do with your sowing and reaping. But you always got this promise that God's word will never return to him void. And if you seek and you sow to the Spirit and you sow to those things which are right and you sow together more to come into the house of the Lord and know the Lord, God will bless your efforts and God will do things that you didn't ever think he could do. It's a matter of casting your bread upon the water and then watching and seeing what God will do. To close, I'm reminded of a little girl that had planted some flowers. She went to the garden daily to look and see if they had lifted their heads from beneath the darkness of the sod to bask in the glory of the sun. But day after day, she saw nothing. Finally, one day, as she was so dismayed, her dad asked her, baby, what's wrong? And she told him she had planted some flowers and watered them, but there were no flowers. Her dad, being taller than she was, saw what had happened. And so he took her in his arms and he lifted her up and he let her look on the other side of the fence, and blooming there was a great bouquet of flowers more beautiful than eyes could ever imagine. Paul says to us, don't grow weary in well-doing. So sometimes you're sowing and you're reaping and you're planting and you're doing and you sometimes think you're just spinning your wheels.
That's right. That's right.
But God
Amen.
Is still at work.
Yes, Amen.
God is still.
Thank you, Lord.
His hand of mercy
Thank you, Lord.
Is still reaching down into human history. And when we think ain't nothing happening, God is laboring.
Amen.
And he promises that our labor is never in vain in the Lord. You have the opportunity to sow and to reap this morning. You can make the decision, because a part of sowing and reaping is making decisions. Part of sowing and reaping is deciding to cast away the flesh and to walk in faith. And so you have opportunity this morning to sow in faith and hear God's word. Not only hear it, but believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Come sowing to the point that you repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Come being baptized in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Come being buried with him, Romans 6:1. Being buried in the likeness of his death and then being resurrected in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. And then walking in the newness of life. You can cast off the old man this morning. You can sow him away. And you can take on Christ. You may bear it with him and become a child of God this morning. Will you come? Do you know there are consequences for sowing and reaping? Say, oh, brother preacher, I got all the rest of my life. Who told you that? The rest of your life may be today. James says, what is our life is even as a vapor that appeared for a short time and then puff.
That's it.
You just check the other side. Today is a day of salvation. God says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Why is it so important, Brother Andrew? Because you're sowing a decision. And you're going to reap the consequences of that decision. Try to share with you the principle, the practice, and the promise. And the promise, most of all, is that God is faithful.
Amen.
And you can reap some good stuff if you walk with God.
Amen.
You telling me I'm not going to have any more trouble? No, I'm not. Mm-mm. But I'm telling you that God can fix your heart. And God can help you through. And God will be with you. And he promises never to leave you nor forsake you. Will you come today? Will you come? The text says, if we sow to the Spirit, we'll gain everlasting life. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that your desire this morning? To live with God in that house not made with hands. Let his word have its way in your life. Come right now. Together we stand. Together we sing our invitation song this morning. Won't you come?
There's a fountain.